Oh my god, it's another week of Asian cult cinema.
Formerly Kung Fu cinema.
Kung Fu theater.
CM cinema theater.
My name is Mao. With me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And thank you for tuning in once again. This is week number 20, or show number 25.
My god, anniversary. 25th
yep.
anniversary.
25th anniversary. Show. Amazing.
Nice.
What have you chosen for us this week, Dr. Morbius?
Well, since we're no longer Kung Fu cinema, we're more like Asian cult cinema. And we hadn't done a giant Green Turtle movie yet.
Is this the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No. This is Gamera.
Gamera, friend of children.
Friend of all children versus Guiron or Attack of the Monsters or the five other names.
These always have so many names.
I know. TV title, Japanese title, theatrical title.
Japanese TV title.
They have 80 trailers to them too. You know, it's
so great. Yes, you know. A Gamera movie, everyone. Gamera. Tune in for Gamera, friend of all children.
I remember Gamera.
Yeah, I saw this one a couple times.
You did?
Yeah. I didn't remember it because, again, who knows what title I saw it under, and my brain isn't hardwired to remember that kind of little dopey crap.
The brain-eating.
And I watched it, and I was like, oh, I know. As soon as I got to the two girls, the alien girls, I was like, oh, I remember this movie now, 100%.
Yeah, the head shaving. Yep.
Yeah, weird stuff. It's really wacky stuff. Really
strange,
weird.
Kinky movie.
Yeah.
Gamera, hey, you know, he's fun. He was the antithesis of Godzilla. Godzilla,
oh my God.
Kill everybody. You know, see, out of my way. Gamera's like, oh, I'm a cool guy. You know, I'll fight some monsters for you.
So weird. I remember the first time I saw Gamera, I don't even know what year this was. I'm watching it, and this turtle, like, lights up with those sparklers, and I was just like, what am I watching here? Your head's just kind of like, what the hell is this? You know,
You probably saw it like in the 70s.
Just some Saturday morning, whatever.
Saturday morning movie
just
of the week.
Seeing some turtle flying around in space, and you're like, that's
spinning around, like, you know, a top or whatever, and you're like, huh?
That's.
And then you watched it the whole way through, and you went, what did I just watch? I don't know. I kind of liked it, you know? Something.
Didn't mind those alien gals. Hubba no, hubba. Huh. But yeah, it's just so weird, you know? And it was obviously an offshoot of the Godzilla fame, you know?
Yeah, it was like Godzilla was told this was die.
Yeah, and it just, they're like, well, whatever. They're just going to, apparently they just watch whatever, just stomp around in a suit for a while and you're good to go, you know?
Basically, yeah. But like I said, these were, the Godzillas became, like, around Godzilla's Revenge, more kid-oriented.
Oh, yeah. They knew
this was real kid-oriented. This is made the first made one wasn't.
Kids. Oh, really?
I don't think the first Gamera was. The black and white one was more like a first Godzilla. But after that one, it became very more kids-oriented.
That was their market. They saw who was going, and they're like, just cash in.
I mean, I have some old VHSs where Sandy Frank, a producer, got a hold of these, and they were like, for kids only, and they had like a kid introducing.
Remember Sandy Frank's those Planet of the Apes knockoffs?
The Time of the Apes.
Time of the Apes. Sandy Frank.
He's great. Yeah, that's Sandy.
He
Frank.
Also did that one I really liked, the
Battle of the Planets cartoons he produced.
What was the one with the flying? Oh, it was a space one. I reproduced
Neptune
the logo.
Men?
No, well, Neptune Men was cool. I reproduced the logo. It was like a. They all had the same logo on their space suits.
I don't remember.
Oh, my God. It doesn't matter. He did some really fun stuff. And this one, no, this isn't his. This is, I can see where he would have taken this.
Oh, yeah. Because
he was
nuts.
Yeah. I guarantee that guy was crazy. Sandy Frank, like.
My buddy met him at a TV station one time. He was
really?
A nice guy. Yeah, he was a nice guy, he said. Yeah, you met him. These guys would go around sometimes. To stations.
Promote their stuff. And
trying to
a little bit of glad-handing is going to get you a long way.
Yeah, of course, exactly.
In this genre, in this arena, when you're talking about UHF stations and whatever.
Exactly.
You meet
the way
that guy,
it was UHF channel.
Keep it, you know, front of mind.
Hey,
everyone
I got some more
it.
Movies, you know.
Definitely.
If you want them, we'll do some deals, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway,
very
yeah.
cool. All right. So now we, all right, so let's get into the movie, I guess.
All
right. Okay. We're in, precocious little kid Japan world, which is a there's a lot of precocious scamps running around in Japan. They went untethered for many years, I think, because they just run around with impunity and just into all kinds of hijinks and shenanigans.
They have
and
big, gigantic telescopes in their backyard where they can see like the planet beyond the galaxy or whatever.
Every kid in Japan had a telescope.
And of course, in this one, it's like the Japanese kid has like a white best friend or whatever.
That was so
or
weird.
Or Caucasian
to
best friend.
Oh yeah, this kid was straight up. Like, you're like, wait, who are you?
Like the opposite of like here. You have like whatever. Well, so it's like, okay, you know, there's the whatever, quote-unquote, token white people in there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. It's going to be played in American theaters or in TV stations anyway.
They
Let's make
it.
Sure everybody's involved.
They knew it. They
it.
Knew where it was going.
Yeah,
you know.
So they see, like, a spaceship landing in the woods. Before that, there was those scenes with some scientists talking about how they're getting waves from outer space, but they don't know what it is.
Yeah, these must be communications from outer space, but who knows?
Yeah. So kids actually see the spaceship. And they're like, oh, we got to find it. Okay, tomorrow we'll go out and go look for it. So the next day they get in their precocious scamp bikes. And
Oh, yeah, because they were like, at first they were like, let's go now. And then the mom comes in, and classic Japanese mom, she's like, why aren't you studying? Well, go to sleep. It just was so great. This is like kind of running the show, you know.
Yeah, you're
not going out. Just get in there and study some more, you know, or I'll hit you with this broom.
Yeah,
and there's the two boys, and then there's the sisters. So there's the Japanese brother and sister, and then the white friend, you know, who's the brother's friend. So and they're funny, they interact pretty well. The little girl looks familiar. As weird as that sounds, she might have been in some of these other monster movies. I went to go look her up because I'm almost sure she played that same character in Neptune Man. There was, like, sister that kind of doesn't get involved in the hijinks but is there to tell the story. If not, it was her. If it wasn't her, I mean, it was cloned after her, you know.
Yeah.
So it made sense. So now it's the next morning, and they're riding their bike, and they see this guy practicing Yaido, which is the samurai sword swinging with the wooden sword to build muscle and keep you limber and stuff. I did Yaido for a lot of years. And And he's like, oh, they shoot his towel with a dart gun and it goes and sticks to the wall. And I was like, I don't think that's how dart guns work, but whatever.
Yeah,
you know, if I'm looking at a movie with a flying turtle with sparklers coming out of it, I guess I shouldn't really be questioning dart physics. You know, at what point do you draw the
Pretty
line?
Much, yeah.
So he's like, hey, you scamps, what are you doing? And they're like, ah, we're going to see we're going in the woods to see a UFO. And he's like, oh, you dumb kids. Well, bye. And he just setting up so he can come back later as the comic relief kind of.
Exactly, yeah.
Because he plays like a dopey police chief, but he's a real goober. He's like kind of like...
Yeah, yeah, he's like framing it up and stuff.
Yeah, oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. He's touching his glasses. He's like, hey, you... And, you know, Tomoko, you never lie. You're such a good girl. Why are you doing with these? Your brother is a troublemaker kind of thing. And you're like, oh, you... Now they go to the woods. They see this spaceship. They immediately, like, the two boys go on, and they're like, well, see ya. And the girl's like, oh, you shouldn't go on there. Don't go on there. And you're like, well, we're just going to go check it out. Closes up, takes off. You're like, huh, kids in space. That's weird, you know.
Yeah, the girl doesn't go in. The boys get in, and they're like, hey, we're in space.
This is awesome. See you later.
There's no fear whatsoever. Yeah.
You know, just flying. So they take off in space. Now the daughter's like, oh no, or the sister's like, oh no, that's not good. So she jumps on her bike and goes and tells the mom. And the mom's like, oh, you stupid kids, you're dumb. Just go study.
Like, yeah, right.
She's sweeping like
study.
She's sweeping this like 2-inch by 2-inch section of the yard and just says, okay, why do you tell these such lies? And then they're like, where are they? And she blows off the kids and then, or the excuse, you know. And now it really ramps up because the kids are in space and they land.
Well, they go out in space and they're flying, and all of a sudden Gamera pops up.
Oh, they're like, oh, friend of
Gamera,
all children.
Hey, how you doing, Gamera? You remember your past adventures when you did this and that and the other thing?
Oh no!
And all of a sudden it's like, hey, Gamera, and then Gamera tries to stop them from the spaceship going further, but you know it can't. And then like Gamera stays behind. You, Gamera, come on back, you know. And Gamera just kind of like stays back and. The kids end up on some planet, and when they get to the planet, there's monsters fighting.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick trailer break, and then we come back. We'll get into this alien planet with alien babes.
Yes.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Charlie.
Get yourself ready for a mean double bill. If coffee don't get you, JD will. Coffee and JD's Revenge. The baddest pair of heavyweights to ever hit the screen. With a 1-2 punch like you've never seen. Coffee, she's sweet, black, and hot. Mess with her and you're playing with fire. JD's Revenge, where a dead man's soul comes back from the grave to seek out his killer and the vengeance he craves. Coffee'll cream ya, JD'll scream ya. So take a taste of double trouble. See Coffee and JD's Revenge, doing it together to do it to you. Pam Grier, Lynn Turman, and Lou Gossett Jr. in Coffee and JD's Revenge. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
All right, we are back. So, now where were we? We crash landed on the planet. We kind of came down on the alien planet and...
And monsters are fighting now.
Yeah, now it's like a winged...
Gaios, I think his name is.
Yeah, Gaios, and then...
And he's fighting the...
Knife head.
Guiron, who's the knife... Yeah, head, like a hammerhead shark or something.
It's such a weird looking. These, again, during this time, like, it was no holds barred. Like, these creatures that fought and all these different things, there was just whatever, you know. Three-headed dragons, and this thing was a very strange looking Guiron. He's like, it looks like almost like not a T-Rex,
like a shark,
like a platypus, kind of it walked on four legs. But then it had a gigantic knife for a head,
right? And he
it was just this knife blade, you know.
And then he cuts up the flying bird pretty good.
Yeah, he cuts the leg off of it when it takes off, and it's hopping around on one leg. I forget, does he kill it or does he?
Yeah, he chops it to pieces in little steaks or whatever.
Oh, okay, wow.
I think this scene was cut for television a little bit because even though it's like goofy, probably might be a little bit too much. So then he goes back and he's done chopping them up, and then he goes back into his little lair, and that's it.
Yeah, like the door, a trap door opens, and he goes down into it, and then it closes, and you're like, well, that's weird. Turns out that these two alien babes who like control it.
Yeah, they control the monster.
They're the last two on this planet. Their race has died. They're the last two people. So, like, this is like the protector of their planet. Whenever something comes, they open up this thing.
But as you find out later, they're the ones who are sending out the messages to Earth because they want to go to Earth. And message we find
in a
out
bottle.
We find out later why. So the kids end up getting in that triangular contraption to
try
to... hide away from Guiron or whatever, and they end up inside the ship.
Yeah, so they zap them into the compound.
The compound, yeah.
Right. They're inside now. Now they're inside this lair, and these two girls come out, the aliens, and they're like, "Hey, little boys," and they're kind of just talking to them. You don't know that they're inherently evil.
Not
just
at first.
Yet. No, at first they're like, "Oh, hey, you know, what are you two doing here?" And they're like, "Oh, we got on this ship, and here it is." And I was like, "That was our ship." And there's a lot of pointless talking that these movies have.
The padding, you know.
They have scripts, but you're not sure why. Like, it's just kind of like, I mean, they explain why they're there and stuff like that, so I shouldn't say why, but...
Yeah, the last survivors and the computer malfunction made all these monsters, and they control
them. Yeah, you're like,
okay,
convenient, you know.
And they fight or whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So then, like, you know, they start that. First, they're being nice to the kids and
they're giving
them food and stuff like that. And, you know, the kids are like, oh, this is great. Now we want to go back home. And the ladies go, they want to bring the girls with them or whatever.
Yeah.
They want to get away from the planet of monsters, too.
Right, yeah, which you can see that.
Yeah, I can see that, you know. So,
because this is like a desolate, it almost looks like an asteroid. When you look out the windows, it's just nothing but like burnt rock, you know. It looks like a volcanic, but, you know, so there's nothing there. You know, there's nothing left to have.
Basically. So they're like there, you know, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, the girl says, okay, well, we got to go like fix our ship or whatever. And then as they're going to fix their ship, you start finding out that what they really want to do is like basically like they eat brains.
They eat their brains to gain their knowledge, and you're like, wait, what? Like
that came out of nowhere.
I literally like went, duh? Like I did a double take looking at this movie because I was like, where'd that come from?
Yeah,
what are like, you talking about, man? Like, okay, well, let's go eat their tasty brains to gain their knowledge. And I'm thinking, how much knowledge is an 8-year-old kid going to have in the first place? You're like, oh.
Yeah, pretty whatever. Much. Probably knowledge of like, I like hot chicks like
yeah.
her.
And, no, know. Not even that. That's pre-liking hot chicks. They're like, oh, okay. Chicks have cooties. And then they'll look at each other and be like, do I have cooties? No, you're all right. So you had your cooties shot. So they hooked this kid up to brain scan at first before they did that. Think, oh, what? Let's find out his innermost desires. It just showed donuts.
Yeah, donuts. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like, the kid kept saying, I'm hungry, you know. And I was like,
donuts
yes,
and milk.
Yeah, represent. So funny, man. That made me laugh.
Representing
I was like,
the donut community.
It's like, come on, man. That was great. Yeah.
So at first the kids think they're nice, but then the girls finally, like, see, she hypnotizes them, right? That's when she gets the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they end up, the kids are, like, trying to escape, and they grab them. They go, no, we're, you know, you're not going anywhere, you know, basically.
And they're like, nah, and they start acting like kids.
And then she grabs the Japanese kids, and then she basically, like, subdues him, and they start shaving his head for real.
Yeah, they're like, all right, well, let's crack this thing open.
She shaves it, and then she grabs, like, the drill, and they're going to, like, start it up. But then Gamera shows up on the planet.
He's friend of all children, in case you didn't know.
He finally gets there, and then he starts fighting Guiron.
Yeah, but right before that, I think what happens then, before they crack the head open to eat the brains, we go back, because now you have to interject, like, the Earth part. Because now the little girl is
yeah,
like...
Yeah, the girl's telling the mom.
The girl's like,
and all
I said, I told you this. And then the mom's like, okay, well, we'll wait for them to come back. And they don't come back, and then the American mom shows up, and then two moms are kind of freaking out, where's our kids? And she's like, I keep telling you, they're in space. And she's like, that doesn't make any sense at all. Then, like, and I can't remember if it's this part. Yeah, it is this part. Where now, like, these reporters show up, or they tell the cops, and then the reporters show up, and they're like, tell us the story. We believe you because we saw a spaceship land.
Yeah,
and now the moms are like, oh, crap. We're in trouble. The Japanese mom feels really bad because she was watching these kids when they, you know, took off and got on a spaceship, you know. You're like, oh, yeah, sorry about your luck. So then, like, not only now, like, the mom's there, and then the kid, the daughter starts telling this story, and it's kind of just not even wrapped up. They're just kind of like, oh, well, we'll have to watch the skies and wait for wait for it to come back and all that stuff. And you're like, oh, okay, whatever, you know. Now we go back to the planet where now this is like ramping up a little bit.
And that's how
Gamera kind of pops in. He's like, hey, I'm a friend of all children, I'll save you. And
so he's fighting Guiron, and he's basically got Guiron on the mat, but Guiron starts like shooting shurikens at him.
Yeah,
and cutting him up. First
throwing stars coming out of there.
First, Guiron starts trying to cut him in half, and green blood's flying or whatever.
It was weird because he's kind of losing.
Yeah.
I mean, Knifehead is really doing a number on this turtle.
And when he hits him with the shurikens, he's really out of it. And then he ends up, like, jumping falling into the sea, the ocean.
One sticks into his forearm, and he's like, ah. And then, oh, no, that one, that's a later scene.
Oh,
so
okay.
he gets knifed, and he jumps away, and he jumps into the ocean and just sinks to the bottom. And the two evil space girls are, like, looking in there, like, oh, well, he's dead. Like, he's not even moving. And then they say, you know, get back into your pit. And then Knifehead goes back in, and he's like, okay, whatever. And they're like, oh, no, now our ship's damaged from that fight.
That's right.
So we'll have to go out and save it.
So we'll have to, you know, give these guys a little respite. They can live for a little longer.
Yeah, and, like, I like it. It's classic, like, when something bad's going to happen, and then they look away like, oh, the kid was just saved from getting his brain split open. Because Gamera shows up, you know, and you're like, oh, right when she started with that drill, I started thinking of that scene from Faces of Death when they were eating those monkey
brains.
Nasty.
I never saw that.
It's such a gross thing, and I guess it really
did
happen.
That's also on YouTube, too, by the way, if any sickos want to
watch it. No, thanks. I was there for the first round. I had a friend who was really into those. He, like, loved them, and I'm like, yuck.
Yeah, no.
Those are disgusting.
Thank you. Even if they are fake, they're disgusting.
Not all of it was fake. Some was, but then obviously some wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick trailer break, and then we come back. We will wrap up this epic battle between turtle and knife-headed creature.
Yes.
And will these kids survive? And will the hot aliens come back with them?
Will they eat their brains?
And if so, what are we going to do? Well, that's gonna, are they going to just eat all our
are
brains?
Are they going to come here to Earth and eat all our brains?
Good luck.
Godzilla! It looks like Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Still, we should run like it is Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
Now, the screen breaks loose with all the fury of the atom bomb. Moonshiner's Woman, the new picture that makes Thunder Road look like an ice cream social. You'll see more in Moonshiner's Woman than you'll see in a lifetime. Meet Laura Lee. From the backwoods to the bright lights, she was big trouble. And Mitch, the pretty boy that learned it all the hard way. And Rachel, the fast buck hippie with a $2 conscience. And Jarvis, the big man, a cheap imitation of a human being. And Sharon, the big man's honky-tonk baby. It's big trouble, big excitement, big screen action. Moonshiner's Woman. From the hills of Tennessee to the Daytona 200, it's shine, drink, and motor roar and action from start to finish. Moonshiner's Woman. Moonshiner's Woman. Moonshiner's Woman.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
All right, home stretch.
That was Moonshiner's Woman.
Yeah.
Women.
Hotter than an atomic bomb or something.
Yeah, there you go. Make sure you go out, and that'll be playing this week at the local theater.
Way to oversell it.
Go see it at the park theater or whatever.
No. All right, so now we are in the home stretch here. The girls don't eat his brain. They go out to fix this part of this thing, and the kids, precocious scamps as they are, they escape. We all know how I love precocious scamps.
Yeah, they escape with the with his little
dart gun.
He lets out Gwiron, I think.
It also lets out, the knife head, Gwiron. So now it kind of, everything's kind of getting crazy now. So the girls are out there. The kids get out of their trap. Gwiron's outside, and he's kind of going nuts, knocking stuff over. And they scream, "Help us, Gamera!" And Gamera wakes up and comes out of the ocean like, "Ha ha!"
Finally, he wakes up because something falls on his head. He's like, "I don't know." And boom, like, you got a big rock. He goes, "Oh yeah, okay."
Wake up, you know. So
I'm there, yeah.
Now this is kind of, I forget. Do the alien girls go back?
One of them gets killed. One of them gets hurt.
So yeah, they crash. Because they also go back and go, "Oh, try to escape. Well, we got you again."
When one of them got hurt, the other one goes, "Well, you know, obviously you're not going to make it." So, boom, shoots her.
She's like, "In our race, we don't play that game." Bang.
So she just shoots her or whatever.
And they vaporize and go away, like just like the This Island Earth. Remember how the aliens would get shot and they vaporize and just go poof, and they're gone?
Yeah, right,
you're like,
exactly.
Nice, self-cleaning robots, you know, right? Self-cleaning death. So, so now we are at the the ending, the end fight kind of thing, and they're going at it.
Yeah,
now, this is pretty pretty hardcore.
Gamera's doing like monkey bar flips and everything, and fighting him or whatever. And then he finally what does he do? They fight in the ocean first, I think.
Yeah, they go in the ocean after because he gets a star in his arm.
He
falls down in the water. He's like, "Oh, okay." Well, then he goes into the water, and then Knifehead goes after him.
Yeah.
And he's trying to stab him. And Gamera,
flips him. He flips his knife head in the ground.
Yeah,
right?
He does a pile driver.
He does a
solid pile driver move. He's like, "Oh yeah," and he picks him up and he just slams him knife first into it. And then at that point, I'm like, "Run over and finish him! Start punching him in the gut and killing him!" You know.
And then the kid shoots a rocket. He's still going. He's hitting all the buttons because he's trying to get the spaceship, because how did the other woman get killed? Did she get killed? Because there's only one left, and she runs into the ship, right?
Yeah, she runs into the ship, and the ship takes off. She's going to leave the whole place, and that's when Knifehead cuts it in half.
That's right.
He kills her as she's trying to escape. She flies away and goes,
"That's
crink,"
right.
And cuts it in half, and you're like, "Wait, what happened now?"
Yeah.
So she's dead, and the ship's in two pieces, and Gamera sticks his head into the ground and kills him.
No, Gamera kills him, I think, because like, the kid shoots the kid, they're hitting all the buttons because they're trying to escape.
Right,
the kid
that's
shoots
what
a missile, and Gamera
catches
it. And he throws it back at Guiron, and like gets what's stuck in his one of his snout, and it blows him up.
I know, it just blows up, and Turtle Head goes flying, or just pieces everywhere.
Yeah, pieces flying all
over. And you're like, what just happened now? You know.
And then the kids are like, how are you going to get back home?
Gamera, this is where I'm like, my ass movie. You know, like Gamera takes this spaceship and like welds it together with his, holds it together with his two little turtle paws and welds it with his breath. And then he puts it on the ground and is like, well, get in, kids. And they're like, okay. And they climb in and this turtle, Gamera, puts this spaceship in his mouth.
And
just like, oh, let's go. And just flies into space. And you're like, how does any of this work? This doesn't work. You can't
do
that.
In the world of Gamera, it makes total sense.
Does it? I don't know. I guess so. But I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it was totally like, that was one of the things where I was like, what are we doing here, man? So he just flies away, and then these kids are in this spaceship, and then he's like, oh, okay, well, let's go. And they land, and there's a whole crowd of people there. Oh, and we forgot to say, this is where my head starts to hurt a lot.
From the phrase.
Because the phrase, Gamera, 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 Gamera.
And then the one they repeat all the time, because somebody thought it was really funny. We want a better world where there's no wars or traffic accidents.
Oh,
I think I
kind of
like three times for that one. It's pretty funny, but after the third time, you're like, okay, we get it. You know, we understand it's a great line. I get it.
Yeah.
And at the end, when Gamera brings it back, I think they're happy to be on Earth because they know that it's worse on some other planet.
I know, but it's like, oh, Gamera,
and
Gamera,
it's all peace
Gamera.
And lovey, and it's just movies from 69.
I know.
So,
and these kids are also like, oh, you punch him in the face, Gamera. Oh, do your spin sparkler thing, Gamera. Like, they're just telling this turtle, and the turtle hears all the children. I'm like, whatever. But whatever. So this crowd gathers, and the Gamera lands, and the kids get off, and they're like, yay, Gamera, yay for kids. That's when they do that whole...
Yeah,
they dream of a world without car accidents and nuclear wars.
Yeah, exactly. And then everybody's happy, and Gamera goes back.
Ha, 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 you should go for president, kid. And then there's this weird offhanded line where the police chief like pulls his glasses down. He's like, oh, I could barely see because of my glasses, but they're better now. It's this weird line, and you're like, what are you talking about?
I'm sure it was cracking him up in Tokyo, but the lost
did not fly here. Yeah. So then Gamera sparklers away, and the girl and the kids chase him down. They're like, oh, bye Gamera, bye Gamera, see you next week Gamera, let's do another one. He's Gamera. The end.
Yep.
Turtle power.
Yeah,
you know.
Turtle power.
I did look up the girl while at our break, and she was in nothing. So I was totally wrong about that. She was in that, and then she was in a TV show from 72 to 75, The End. Live a little, dream the dreams, man.
Dream the dream. Hey, you made it to Gamera.
Sure did.
You're immortal now. Every generation will watch these Gamera movies, and they will see you.
Now, this is just a little question. Gamera obviously didn't hit Godzilla... levels.
No, it was TV, mostly television.
What do you think? Why did this miss? Was it two shenanigans? Like, to me, it was such an off-putting, weird premise.
I think it was meant for kids.
Like a space turtle that spins around. You're like, what are we doing here? You know?
I think it's like... It was never going to be Godzilla, so they never really wanted to compete. So they took
just
the opposite track.
Oh, that's true.
They went the opposite direction.
They were successful in their own right. And I'm not saying that they're not.
They did a bunch of
them. It was a successful franchise. It just was not cult status-like. Now people laugh at it instead of lovingly. Like,
it's cult status. It's got a big. I mean, everybody that I know knows Gamera. Even the people that are
B-movie guys, you know,
they think it's funny and stuff like that. Hey, I'll tell you the truth. A lot of people thought the Godzillas got pretty dopey after the third or fourth one. So especially Godzilla's Revenge.
They did. Those are crazy.
You know, so
the
it's kind of like
jumping around and all that weird stuff.
So it became a kids movie. So it really is like a monster movie, but it mostly is like a kids movie, and or for like people that have that love Japan and they'll watch anything, yeah, giant monsters or whatever. Well, that's where I like
kaiju movies, you know.
And it's secondary to Godzilla. It's the second most famous one. You know?
Yeah, it would have to be.
I can't think of too many other ones. Well, there's also like Yongari and, you know, The X from Outer Space and Dogra and all that. But none of them had a series Gamera.
That's true.
I'm sure it was a lot more popular in theaters in Japan than it.
Gamera is friend to all children.
It is. That's the main thing. He is friend to all children. So, kids, remember that.
All your base are belong
if
to us.
If these kids are picking on you and giving you a hard time, just say Gamera.
Yell Gamera.
And he's going to come in and he's going to stomp on them.
Good
so
for him.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's it for Asian cult cinema.
That's right.
If you haven't seen Gamera,
please do.
Go see it. My name is Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
We'll see you next week with more Kung Fu shenanigans. Not Kung
and
Fu.
And
Asian cult cinema shenanigans.
Giant monsters and
guys. Next week, we're going to see
Karate Guys.
City Dragon.
Oh, God, dude. Are we really?
God help us all. Sing us out, Don Sullivan.
There was a mushroom, sad little mushroom. There was a meadow, ready to cry. There was a sparrow, gray little sparrow. There was an eagle, silent and high. And the Lord said, laugh, children, laugh. The Lord said, laugh, children, laugh. The Lord said, laugh. Children laugh, the Lord said laugh, laugh, laugh. And the Lord, he said, I created for you a world of joy from out of the blue. And all that is left to complete the joy, just the laugh of a girl and boy. Yeah, 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 yeah. And there was a garden, beautiful garden, held in the arms of a world without joy. Then there was laughter, wonderful laughter, for he created a girl and a boy. And the Lord said, oh, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, laugh, children laugh, the Lord said, laugh.
Sure is. And you know, I never felt any more like laughing than I do right now.